Good morning, everyone. Glad you're here. Great sing good songs. Boy, that was a great song, right? I'm not telling. I wrote that back in the 70s. That's an old song. But it's got a great message to it. In fact, let's just talk about songs for just a moment. When you think of singing, oftentimes people say, well, I have my favorite song. You know, you have times when you say, well, let's sing a variety of songs. What's your favorite? You know, and someone will holler out and we'll sing a verse. Or then we'll try another song and we'll sing a verse. And so if you stop and think about singing, sometimes we pick up perhaps our favorite song and someone says, boy, my favorite song's Amazing Grace. And that is a favorite of many. But here's the question. Do you really know what you're singing? Could you explain the meaning of it? Do you realize that in that song is so much depth? And so much to talk about and think about and explore in that one song. And yet we just kind of automatically sing it. Someone has once asked me, you know, when you travel around, do you have sermons in your back pocket? Well, there's stuff in my back pocket, but there's no sermons. But you know what I need? All I need is your songbook. Because you know where there's a great sermon? I mean a great sermon, Rock of Ages. Most people sing it, but can you really explain it? Have you looked at the depth of it? Do you realize that the gospel, the kernels of gospel there just explode off the page in Rock of Ages? But other times we're singing songs that we sing them, but do we really mean them? I surrender all. Do we? Are we? Or we sing great songs that, how I love Jesus. Well, if you're not listening to Jesus, you're not obeying Jesus, if you're not allowing him being Lord of your life, then how is it you even sing a song like that? So sometimes we're mechanical in some of the things we do, and we're not really looking at the meaning of what we're doing. Now this song, Adopted, is our sermon today. I decided, okay, let's look at a song. And just look at the content of it a little bit in the few minutes that we have. And see what it's saying. Now I chose reading from Galatians chapter 4 as the premise and the basis for this song, and I chose it to be read from the King James. Now, I carry the NIV around, but I'm using the King James just for Galatians. The reason for that is because in some of the other translations, the word instead of adopted is the word sonship or son, which is excellent and right, but what it misses is why Paul, or what Paul was trying to say to the Romans and to the Ephesians and also to the Galatians when he used the word adopted. It had a special meaning. Paul's the only one who uses it, and Paul only uses it to talk to Gentile Christians. And living in the Roman world, they would understand when he said adopted, they'd say, wow. Now, we wow when adoption. We say, what a wonderful thing. And there's a celebration. And we're thankful and things like that. But the wow for Roman adoption was not only heavy, but it was very, very meaningful. So this is why I'm reading from the King James. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He might be the heir, but he doesn't get any money because he's just a child. but under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage in the elements of the world. When the fullness of time was come, not our calendar, God's calendar, it doesn't operate the same. God's going to do what he's going to do when he wants to do it. And Jesus is going to come back when God says so. And I don't know what you and I will be doing, if we'll be doing. But either way, it has nothing to do with our calendar or sense of time whatsoever. It's just going to happen. Right? Okay. So when the time was right, when God says it's right, God sent forth his Son. Now that sounds a little bit like that verse we know so well, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That we can quote. But do we really know the meaning of it? Have you ever read verse 17? You know, 3:16, try 17. There's a little more in the context there, but here again, it's like singing. Sometimes it's mechanical. And we miss the point because we don't read all of it and spend some time thinking about it. But here he says, God sent his forth his Son when the time was right, made of a woman, made under the law. For what purpose? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So there's a purpose here that goes right back to God. God had a purpose, and that purpose was adoption. It wasn't something that he thought up along the way. It was something that was part of his eternal plan before the foundation of the world. So you were thought of before the foundation of the world, and God planned on redeeming you. And because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic for Father, so it's like Father, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of Christ, heir through Christ. When I was but a sinner, where's my words? When I was but a sinner, the Lord, he came to me. He said, my son, you're living in the wrong family. When I was but a sinner, when were you a sinner? When were you living in the wrong family? All of us lived in the wrong family. And all of us are still living in the wrong family unless you've been adopted. You can't get out of that family without being adopted. Everybody in God's family is adopted. It isn't, there's no difference. Someone can't say, well, I'm a son. And the other says, I'm a son, but I was adopted, making some kind of difference there that really is not real. When it comes to God's family, everybody's adopted. You can't get into it without being adopted. So, here we have the idea then that being a sinner means that I have wandered away from God. I'm not on the same track with God. I have no relationship with God because I'm like the guy down the street. I'm living in a wrong, different family. Now let's find that in John chapter 8. And I'm back to the NIV now because I like the words of the NIV in some of these. But I think this is an important concept right here in John 8. This is verse 42. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. If God were your Father, you would love me. How does God explain love? Is it some kind of emotional? We had a lot of emotion yesterday, up and down and backward. We were laughing, then we were crying, and then we were crying, and then we were laughing, and pretty soon we were saying, I'm drained, I'm going home. I can't take any more. Emotion. But this is, he says, this is factual. He said, if you love God, in 1 John, you keep his commandments. Don't say you love God if you're not keeping his commandments. If you have no interest in the commands of God, then how can you possibly say you love God? So then why are you singing the songs about loving God or taking some kind of comfort in reading scripture about loving God when in fact you really have very limited interest in God? And that's what Jesus is saying. If you love, he's talking to the Pharisees. And they were very religious. He said, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I'm saying. What, they got something wrong with their hearing? No, they're not open to listen. They don't want to hear it. You belong to your father, the devil. Well, there's some strong words. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Valid question. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you don't belong to God. You know, there's the objective and the subjective. I live in a world today with all the mass information. And you watch something like the program of the doctors, and they bring on and they say, you know, do you really think that your kitchen is clean? Let's take some swabs over here and some swabs over there. And what are they going to do with it? They're going to put it under the microscope. And they say, you see all those creepy, crawly things going around there? That's what's on your cabinets, and that's what's around your refrigerator, and that's here in the living room. And there's a bacteria, and it's just growing. And you look under the microscope, and it's some odd-looking things that are just swarming. It looks like the blob's going to take over the world. It's coming. How does that make me feel? I don't want to know that. That doesn't make me feel good. And as soon as a new virus comes out, what do they say? Well, is it does it transfer by air or by touch? Or is that right? How many hands did I shake since I've been here? You guys brought me something. I don't know what it is, but I don't want it. Viruses, bacteria. My water's not drinkable. There's stuff in it. I have well water. Wonderful cold well water. Now, I don't know what's in it, but it sure tastes better than city water. And I don't want to know. Because in this case, all this information is ruining my life. It's ruining my world. It's stuff I don't want to know. I like it just the way it is. Leave it alone. That's the way it is when you live apart from God and you're living in darkness in this world, being deceived by the father, the devil, and you're saying, just leave me alone. Don't tell me about God. Don't open your Bible. I don't want to hear it because it messes with my life. It turns my world upside down, and I'm satisfied right where I'm at. And God is trying to say, I love you so much, I want to adopt you. And you won't let me. You won't hear me. I sent my own son, the price to pay for it, and you reject him. I would really like to adopt you into my family. Now, let me just spend a minute on Roman adoption, because that's the important fact of what that meant. In Roman adoption, when someone wanted to adopt another, they brought scales out, and the father that was going to release his son for adoption was there, and the one who was going to do the adopting. And they had a set of scales, copper scales, and it was a kind of a buy and release program. And they would do it the first time, and then the father of the son would say, "Nope, I'm withdrawing the offer." So they would do it the second time, and then the father would say, nope, I'm withdrawing the offer. But the third time, he did not withdraw the offer, and then this one was then adopted. But that was only part of it. Now, the father who had adopted the son had to go before the legal magistrates, the praetors, and have that examined with seven witnesses in order to make the adoption proper. The bottom line to all of that is, when that transfer was made, it was so complete and so thorough that this person never existed in the other realm. He has full rights as a son. He has full rights for heirship, inheritance. All of his previous debts, anything he owed, anything that had to do with that, is gone. Canceled. Example. You ever hear of Nero? Yeah, we've heard of Nero. Claudius adopted Nero. He wanted Nero to be the successor to his throne. But Nero loved Octavia. Octavia was Claudius' son, a daughter, already born. So in essence, he wants to marry his own sister. And there's no blood relationship between them because Nero's been adopted. You say, well, what's no deal there? It was such a deal that the Roman Senate had to have a special meeting and pass legislation to allow that adoption to happen. Because that's how thorough and how complete that adoption under the Roman law and what it meant. So that when you come to God and God comes to you and says, I want to adopt you, and you accept Jesus and you come to the Lord as the Lord would love to have you, that when you are adopted in this family, you are then raised to sit in heavenly places. When I became a Christian, the Lord, he lifted me from pain and death and sorrow to live eternally. Now I belong to Jesus, for he has set me free. So God then, in his adoption process, not only takes you out of this family into his family, he puts you in a very high position that's far above anything else and anyone else. All you have to do is explore a little bit of Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll know that when God raised Christ, he seated him in heavenly places at the right hand. And he said, everything is under your feet. You have authority over everything. And then he speaks of the church, which is his body. He is the head, there's the body, here's the feet, here's the world. You came out of the world, translated out of darkness, into the sun, into the kingdom of light. You were raised to sit in heavenly places. You are a very, very special person. You are a child of God. You've been adopted. And you were put into the church. The church is his family. The church is his body. You're the body. Each one's a member, a part. We're different, but we're the same. One essence, we're the same. We're all adopted. I read of a young man named Jeremy Carter. And he was abandoned by his mother when he was at birth. And he was pushed from foster home to foster home. And some of you, I know, have gone through similar things like that or have backgrounds like that, and you can appreciate it. But he had, but no one would adopt him. And when someone wanted to, this mother who had abandoned him would show up at court and block it. And so he was 11 years old before the judge came along who finally opened up the process and allowed him to be adopted. And his fourth grade teacher named Carter. She had three girls, but she loved this Jeremy, having had him in class. But it broke her heart when he would stand up and say, my name is Jeremy. I don't have a family. And I'm too old to be adopted. And so when this opened up, she jumped on that to adopt this boy. And when the adoption process was completed, he went to his principal and he said this. At the start of the school year, I was a nobody. But now I'm a Carter. I once lived in the wrong family, the family of darkness, the family of sin, the family of the devil, the liar who was ordering me about. From Ephesians chapter 2, the power and energy coming from him only led me down the wrong path. But God came along and sent his son. And then came the message, I want to adopt you. And I responded to that. I saw what God was trying to do. The love of God just flowed over me in feeling and knowing that my Lord, in spite of my condition, under the microscope, I look all like that bacteria and those viruses and just swimming in slime. But God says, you know, when I get done with you, you're going to sparkle because you're special. And I want to adopt you. And when I adopt you, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to put you in a different position as the body of Christ. I'm going to lift you up to sit in heavenly places. Far above these other things. And then you can come and you can stand up and you can say with me, my name is Art Dice. I'm a child of God. Is that you? No reason it shouldn't be. No reason it shouldn't be. You know, once you're a sinner, sin isn't about an event. It isn't just saying, you know, people come to me and say, you know, I was going to do this. Is that a sin? What do I care? It's not about an event. God's not talking about events. He's talking about who you are, period. You are sin. Not you do sin. The words that are used in Ephesians says you are sin. You are sin walking around. So because you say, well, should I do this or that, is it a sin? What difference does it make? Doesn't change anything whether you make a good choice or a bad choice. The problem is you're in the wrong family. You have the wrong father. You're following the wrong agenda. And God comes along and said, I'm going to send my son because I love you so much. I want to adopt you, lift you up, put you in my family. And then you can say, whatever your name is, I'm a child of God. If you're not a child of God, God invites you to become one. And the only way you can get into God's family is to be adopted. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your wonderful, wonderful love that you've lavished upon us. Lord, we recognize that when we look through your glasses and see ourselves under your microscope, just how wrong we are and how far away we are, and that you have even described our righteousness as we see it, and what we think of it is nothing more than filthy rags. Lord, you want to change all that. You will change all of that. You can change all of that. But we know, Lord, it's only done through your Son. And your Son was given so that we might be adopted. How thankful we are for that. We praise your name. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.